This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
For my money, one of the greatest hip-hop albums of all time, and the first CD I ever bought. I bought Snoop's Doggy Style and Mary J. Blige's What's the 411. I was a little soft. I bought both of those at the same time. I had to, you know, they balance each other out. Hopefully, my man Troy Halliburton will balance me out. You guys know him. You love him. He comes on all the time. You read his stuff on the Action Network, and I definitely want to get into some gambling in our second segment. But first, man, I haven't hollered you in so long. I just had to come in and chop it up, man. What's going on, my friend?
Hey, Reese, man, I appreciate that you always are very timely checking in. I'm happy to come on here and talk some NBA basketball and some playoff picks, too.
Well, look, I opened up the show talking about the Brandy Monica versus. Is there a suitable versus for Snoop? Can you think of a suitable one?
Well, I mean, I think that they already ran the Snoop Dogg versus DMX.
That wasn't right. Dogg,
I know. DMX, he really isn't as much of a showman as he was in those late 90s. Really, he lost his whole voice. I think Snoop Dogg would much rather go up against somebody of a caliber of an Eminem, somebody who is more solidified in the rap game.
DMX needs to have his verses at like 3 in the morning. I bet 3 in the morning he would be very entertaining. That's just my thought.
Hey, I tell you this, DMX would probably be up because the dog never sleeps, apparently.
You got that right. All right, I opened up a show also talking about John Thompson and thoughts and memories of John Thompson and everything he blessed his culture with. Did you have any thoughts on his passing? How did you feel when you heard the news?
But honestly, I was very crushed because I feel like John Thompson Jr. represented all of the things that are great about this city. You know, he was a strong, powerful black man who cared about his players in such a way where you have the college athletics landscape right now is a lot of people kind of not really putting the student athlete first. And John Thompson Jr., whether it be protecting his players from, you know, the balance of racism or protecting his players against, you know, even drug dealers in D.C., he was very much solidified and representing for the city and representing for his players.
Yeah, and, to that point, I had left out him walking off the floor in protest of Prop 42. And a lot of the things that John Thompson talked about, a lot of the fights that he had with the NCAA, a lot of the fights that he had with schools when it came to racist chants towards Allen Iverson or even towards Patrick Ewing, so much of that we're still dealing with in 2020. And, you know, it's really wild that John Thompson was fighting these fights in the 1980s and was trying to tell us that these were issues so long ago and they continue to remain issues today. I also want to get your opinion on this. So I said that John Thompson, in my mind, is one of the most influential figures in the sports culture of this city. And to that end, I feel like the DMV, DC, is a basketball town. I understand that the football team, the Washington Professional Football Team, is the most popular team. I understand that. That's the case in most places you will go in America because this is the most popular professional sport. However, when it comes to the lifeblood of the town, to me, that's more about college and high school. And for me, that's basketball. Where do you come out on that?
As a native Washingtonian, at least, I'm going to let you know, I think that D.C. is for sure a basketball town. I think that, you know, the way that we grow up in the city, you know, in the concrete jungle that is D.C., I think that the sport of basketball is something that we grow up, we playing on the playgrounds. We, you know, D.C., we have our own game, 33. The rest of the world plays 21. That's not enough points for D.C. You know, we go all the way to 33 on our basketball game. We, you know, the high school and collegiate basketball scene in this city is very vibrant. And I think that, you know, in football may be the national sport, but D.C. is the heart of the blacktop. So I'm going to go with basketball as being this sport of this town.
Speaking of the heart of the blacktop, we're the heart of the Bucks, man. We're the heart of the Bucks, man. Get them out of here. I don't understand how they can come out here after what happened last year and give us this level of effort. And then the disrespect that's laid on Giannis's name where they say that he's a Scottie Pippen. By the way, I'm going to do a whole segment defending Scottie Pippen because Scottie Pippen was my favorite player growing up. What you're not going to do is slander Scottie Pippen just for living in 2020. That's what we're not going to do. But what in the world is going on with this team, and is this series already over?
Well, hey, Reese, I don't know if you were surprised because if you, like, watch the Bucks play over the playoffs over the last couple of years, this is exactly the team that they've been because they don't really have the proper playmakers in order for Giannis to come out here and really thrive. And I don't think that it's disrespectful for people to call Giannis a Pippen because Pippen is, you know, certified as one of the 50 greatest players of all time, as one of that Swiss Army knife utility player. And I think that the reason that people are so critical of Giannis over his performance in the series against the Heat is because of the fact that as the defensive player of the year, you know, he's not taking on the toughest defensive assignments. You know, as an offensive player, you know, he seems to be a really one-dimensional with his ability to only drive to the basket and not hit timely jump shots. And so the Milwaukee Bucks, you know, this is a team where you have Mike Budenholzer, who is a coach who has taken multiple 60-win teams and only has a record of 500 in the playoffs. He's not making the proper adjustments that other teams, when they go against these series, are making. So the Miami Heat are playing a style of basketball that is very much suited against the Milwaukee Bucks system. So they like to run the system where they have Brook Lopez and Giannis packing the paint and allowing their other defenders to kind of roam freely. And so that leads for them to give up a lot of three-point shots. So what has happened is, you know, Miami's coming out and hitting shots, and Milwaukee is just doing what they've been doing, and apparently that's not enough.
Well, here's an adjustment. Put Giannis in the game. I turn on the game. It's like one of my rec league games. Giannis sitting up in the stands somewhere with his family. I'm like, how is the man only playing 30-some-odd minutes in a game that they need to win? You saw what Toronto did. They didn't pull Siakam, Van Vliet, or Lowry out of the game in the whole second half because they knew that they didn't want to fall down 3-1, and that was a game that they had to have. Now, I think they probably are going to be done for game five. I think I have it in my mind Toronto's going to blow a tire in game five, and they're just going to say, you know what, let's just try and take 6 and 7. But how in the world are they sitting there? They pulled Giannis out of that game with about 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter while the team was struggling and Miami was coming back. And I'm like, what am I watching right now?
Yeah, I think this goes back to Mike Budenholzer as a head coach. This is an indictment on him because he's too rigid in his philosophies. And, you know, so they've been playing Giannis, you know, around 30, 32 minutes a game over the course of the regular season. But this is the playoffs, baby. I mean, there is no tomorrow. So in order for him to be coming out there and only playing, you know, 35 minutes a game while you have other mainstays around the league playing 44, 47 minutes a game, you know, this is an indictment on Mike Budenholzer where they're letting the sports science get to them and kind of dictate how they're operating and it's affecting them on the court.
It seems to, man. Hey, as I tease, you are the man with the picks. I'm living irresponsible this weekend, okay? My old lady left for the weekend, and I just feel like I want to blow some money. So I know the rest of you guys have money that you need to blow. You got some rent money. You got some mortgage money that we need to blow. So I'm going to bring you back, and we're going to get into these picks. You good with that?
I'm good with that, Reese, man. Hey, we're going to only give out winners for the people now.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Now, this is just jokes about me and Bovada. They keep calling, man. I'm like, I ain't got it. I ain't have it last time. Why you still calling? All right, I'm going to be back with Troy Halliburton after the break. You guys don't go nowhere. Reese Waters, 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back to 106.7 The Fan. I am Reese Waters. Sean on the ones and twos. I'm here with my man, Troy Halliburton. Now, before we get into the picks, I was saying earlier that Adrian Peterson, I'm excited that he's reportedly signing with the Detroit Lions after being cut by Washington. And we're the same age, and as long as he's still in the league, I don't have to face the reality of me never making a professional team. Who's that athlete that you just need to hang on just for your own personal sanity?
For me, it's got to be Chris Paul. Like I think he's the point guard. He's my basketball player who I like have looked up to for a lot of times that I've been growing up. And I think that he has such a great game. He's like our generation's Isaiah Thomas, but he just hasn't been able to get over the hump. I wanted him to get that revenge so bad against the Houston Rockets in that game 7, but you know it just wasn't in the cards for Chris Paul.
Speaking of the Houston Rockets, they are 5.5-point underdogs in their game against the Los Angeles Lakers tonight after taking game 1. Look, I think I've told you, I am I'm a Lakers fan. That's my side piece. And you can't judge me unless you grew up with the Bullets, unless you grew up with the Mark Allery, Michael Adams Bullets, you can't judge me. Okay. Now, I don't like to bet alongside my heart. Which way do you come out on this one?
Well, I actually like the Lakers a lot too, but there are a lot of statistical numbers that would lead me to believe that 5.5-point spread is enough to think that the Rockets might be able to cover. Now, there are a lot of things. The Houston Rockets have been actually the number one defensive efficiency ranked team in the whole postseason of all the NBA teams. And, you know, they really play a style of basketball that is conducive to beating the Los Angeles Lakers because of their dynamic guard play. We saw the Portland Trail Blazers, you know, with Dame and CJ. You know, CJ got a broken back and Dame out there basically on one leg. You know, they were giving the Lakers some problems. I think that the Rockets present a major problem for the Lakers because of them playing small and Anthony Davis' downright refusal to play the center position.
Now, is this more – because this actually applies to – so, by the way, you're taking Houston plus 5.5.
Houston plus 5.5 is a good pick. 5.5 points is enough that I think that I might be leaning with the Rockets right there.
Okay. Now, this also seems to apply to the Milwaukee-Miami series – where a lot of what I've been hearing, Miami has the style to beat Milwaukee. Now, I know Miami's a good team. I know Houston is a good team. Every team that's left is a good team, right? But is this really a case of Milwaukee stylistically creating problems that are exposing the specific weaknesses of the Bucks, or the Bucks actually being not nearly as good as we thought they were? And this actually applies also to Houston and L.A., as I said.
Yeah, well, for the Eastern Conference Series, I think that it's a combination of both, where Milwaukee, they don't have the talent level that I think that a lot of people had. I think that they're a team that is pretty much built for the regular season. But a lot of playoff NBA basketball includes being able to give the ball to a certain player and have them just go out and just get a bucket. To create on their own. And Milwaukee really doesn't have that guy. You know, Chris Middleton's a good spot-up shooter, and Giannis is a guy who can drive to the basket. But they don't really have that guy who has the offensive capabilities to go out there and just create a bucket for themselves. Now, whereas in that Western Conference series, the Houston Rockets, you know, they are a team where they have literally the best bucket getter, the best shot creator in the entire NBA in James Harden. And so that leads them to with this ability where they have a higher talent level because of the fact that, you know, they have not just one former MVP. They got two former MVPs on their team. So you have James Harden, who's able to go out and create any shot, and he has the most lethal step-back jumper that I think that the game of basketball has ever seen. But they also have this guy, Russell Westbrook, who is coming off of that quad injury and is kind of working his way back into shape. And he's looking like the guy where all he does is drive downhill and get to the basket. Forget shooting three-pointers for him because he don't make any three-point shots. All he does is drive to the basket, shoot mid-range elbow jumpers, and get fouled and go to the free throw line. And so if they can have the combination of Harden surrounded with what Westbrook is doing, surround those guys by three shooters, that's a style of play that I think works for the Los Angeles Lakers. And the only way for the Lakers to really be able to combat that is to downsize and take JaVale McGee out of the starting lineup and put Anthony Davis at center and just let him go to work and punish these guys. And that doesn't seem that to be something that he's willing to do at this point.
I mean, it sounds like you might be interested in taking the Rockets plus 350 to get to the finals, plus 800 to win the championship. What you think?
Man, I already got hundreds of dollars bet on the Rockets to win the championship. Some odds at 15-1, some odds at 12-1. I think that, you know, that's just a good investment for me. So, hey, look, we're going to go on a great vacation post-corona if the Rockets come out and win this championship just because the odds said that it was a good bet to be making.
Okay. All right. Interesting. All right. Now, for today's game, I believe it's a 2-point spread right now. Yeah, the Bucks are getting 2 points. That's disgraceful. That is disgraceful. How are you down 3-0? A gentleman's sweep says that they might just give you one, and you still are getting 2 points in this game. That's embarrassing.
Yeah, I don't think there's about to be anything gentleman about what Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat plan on doing to the Milwaukee Bucks. And I also think that line could be greatly affected because of the surrounding Giannis and the speculation of whether he even plays or not. I know that he's listed as questionable on the injury report. And so,
Is he pulling a LeBron now he's hurt? Is he pulling a LeBron's hand now?
I don't think he's pulling one of those things. I think that he did have a visible rolled ankle from the other day. And right. So, like I said, he was listed as questionable on the injury report. I think that it's very tough for these players playing these games in such a rapid fashion. You know, in a normal playoff circumstance, they would be getting, you know, 1 to 2 days off in between games. But, you know, since they're in this, you know, strenuous bubble situation, they're playing every other day. And so I don't think that the recovery time for a rolled ankle like what Giannis had is really enough. I think that there's enough speculation surrounding his injury that is probably leading to why Vegas has deemed the Bucks to be underdogs heading into game four.
Okay, now let's go. So I know you like Houston, and as far as the numbers are concerned, the odds, I assume you still like them at plus 800 or not as much.
Plus 800 to win this game or to win the series?
To win the title.
To win the title? I like that because just based off of the other teams that are favorites, if you want to bet on the Clippers or the Lakers, you're not going to get those type of odds that you would get. But that plus 800, like I said, if you would have been believing in the Rockets earlier in the playoffs like I did, you know, you'd be getting that plus 1,500, 15-1 odds, yeah. like I did. But, you know, As the teams dwindle and as the Rockets, as the Rockets ship picks up some steam, I think that, you know, that number has gone down a lot. But plus 800 is enough where I think that I'm going to need to see a little bit more from them.
All right. Before you go, I got to get your winner of this Toronto-Boston series. Both of them look like, to come out of the Eastern Conference, Toronto's plus 230, Boston's plus 250, so it looks like they're seen in pretty much even terms. I personally think Toronto's going to be gassed coming out of game four, so I think they're just going to drop game five just on GP and try and win the next two. But how do you see that series?
Yeah, I think this might be one of those situations where we might be seeing momentum at work. When the Boston Celtics were up 2-0 in the series, and, you know, Taco Fall was out there trying to jump up and down to prevent an epic 0.5 pass from Kyle Lowry to OG Anunoby. And for them to hit that three-point shot, they were on the verge of being down 3-0, literally 0.5 seconds away from being down 3-0 in their series. in which no team has ever come back from down 3-0 to win an NBA playoff series. I think that now that they have tied this series up 2-2, that the Toronto Raptors are actually poised to ride this momentum wave and actually take it to the Boston Celtics. One of the things that is very concerning for me is that the Celtics, without Gordon Hayward, lack a lot of depth, whereas the Toronto Raptors, you know, they've played like one of the deepest teams in the entirety of the NBA. And so when you have guys like Brad Wanamaker and Grant Williams playing 20 minutes a night for the Boston Celtics, I don't think that that bodes well for them going up against, you know, guys like Serge Ibaka coming off the bench and being able to drop 18 points in critical games. You know, the Toronto Raptors are a team that is championship-tested. And so I think that, you know, when Boston had them on the ropes and could have put them down 3-0, they should have done that. And now they've left this series being wide open, tied up at 2-2. And I expect Toronto to kind of ride this wave of momentum and propel them to the next round.
Well, the Bucks 2-0 lead on Toronto last year. Agrees with that and sees that as a real possibility. Before you go, one more thing. Russell Westbrook was screaming at the crowd after I believe it was an and one at the end of game one against the Lakers. F you talking about. That crowd is filled with families and women and children. Have you seen a grown man yell at women and children in such a manner before?
I have never seen a grown man yelling at women and children in such a fashion. But, hey, Westbrook is such a Tasmanian devil. I'm sure that he wasn't directed at not one baby. But we're going to have to question some of these babies' energy out there if it's getting him fired up like that.
Oh, I loved it, man. I loved it. Hey, Troy, where can the people check you out?
Yeah, they can always find me on Twitter at the handle Troy Halibur, H-A-L-I-B-U-R. They can check me out with some of on the Action Network with some great gambling picks. We took a little bit of a slide in the second round, but we're still coming in at 16-6 over the course of playoff betting. So, yeah, go ahead and check me out, my work on the Action Network.
But we like Miami plus 5.5. Miami minus 2 and Houston plus 5.5.
For the picks today, yep. And then if you cash in on those tickets, if you're going down to Capital One Arena, go ahead and feel free to add me. Ride the wave with me. I'm on the surfboard. I want everybody to ride the wave with me.
I appreciate you, man.
All right now, Reese. Take it easy.
All right. That is Troy Halliburton. Make sure you check him out. Ride the wave with him. Look for him on Action Network and on social media. I'll be back with my man, Chris Russell. My man, I can't do a show without bringing in Chris Russell. So much to talk to him about. But I want to talk to you guys, too. So hit me up, 800-636-1067, Reese Waters, 106.7 The Fan. You can send your anger to Sean on social media.
You don't want to see a versus with Usher in The Weeknd?
Man, The Weeknd ain't earned that. The Weeknd ain't earned that. Get out of here. At Sean Fresh Nikes. All you Usher friends, all you people still listening to Confessions, please. All Usher got to do is just play Confessions. It's over. It's over. It's like when they were trying to put Usher against Chris Brown. I was like, Chris Brown has a lot of good songs. I can't listen to Chris Brown for longer than 10 minutes without changing the album. There you have it. Chris Brown, listening to Chris Brown is an active activity. You don't just put on Chris Brown. You got to change the album. You got to change the single. You got to change the artist after every 2 or 3 cuts. That's not with Usher. You throw on Confessions, you good for 70 minutes. Extended play. All right. Speaking of being good, I know I'm always in good hands when I bring in my next guest, my man, Chris Russell, my friend. Can you believe that we are a week, less than a week now, Thursday from NFL football? How does it feel?
Yeah, next Sunday, a week from now, when you know, when at this, what time is it, 10:40? You know, I'll be at FedEx Field waiting for week one and the Eagles and the Washington football team. How about that? Good morning, Reese. Thanks for having me as always. It's crazy. I mean, the NFL calendar never stops in general. And this summer, you know, I've been covering this team in some way, shape, or form for 12 years, Reese, not on the beat every day like I am now again, and like I was for 6 or 7 years to start my time here. But this summer and camp has been just the most unrelenting, just ridiculous, nonstop, chaotic, and everything in between. I mean, it's impossible to even chronicle how insane and absurd the last 3 or 4 months have been. And before that was real busy. Like when everybody was like bored because of COVID, I was never bored, because the team always keeps you busy, free agency and the draft and all that and coaching change and just all the rumors. But the last 3 or 4 months have just been absurdly insane. And yet here we are a week away, for the Washington team from playing football. Like you said, Thursday night we'll get NFL football.
It is really incredible that a 3-win team can say we can't wait till the game start again. But a 3-win team can say we can't wait till the game start again.
You're so right about that.
It is. I'm like,
it's like,
know,
therapeutic watching a bad football team. Oh, let's go all go sit down on the couch and go see our therapist. Let's watch Washington football team. Yeah, that's cathartic after this nonsense and this circus for the last 3 months.
It's like when your loved ones leave for the weekend.
Yeah.
You come back and you're like, oh, really? I miss them. And then they come back. You're like, oh, that's right.
I don't know if I'm allowed to confirm all that on the radio.
So I asked what the level of excitement was. I gave it like a 6 because I was, if 10 is my normal level of excitement, I gave it a 6 because of all the things surrounding this team in this offseason, reminding me and taking all of the luster off of the potential reset and rebrand that we thought might have been in store. We're just reminded that we have a lot of the same people in place. I can't say the same people. A lot of people have been fired. The powers that be are the same ones in place, but also with the possibility that the virus may play a role in this season. And so I'm kind of cautiously optimistic going into this year. How about yourself? Where would you rate yourself?
So scale of 1 to 10, how excited am I for the season or for the team?
For the season.
Okay. I am a lot more optimistic today than I was when we started training camp and even building up to training camp. So I'd probably say, you know, I'd probably say I'm about a 6.5, 7, somewhere in that range, but I was real low on the chart. I did not think we were going to make it through training camp, to be honest with you. I did not think with the amount of players on each and every roster, even though they went from 90 to 80. Oh boy. My dog is not happy.
He's like, I thought we were going to spend some time there. He's like, what does this football team have to do for you to spend time with me on a Sunday?
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, here's the bottom line. I didn't think we were going to make it through training camp, right? Just because I thought there would be mass infection and mass spread like there was in baseball with the Marlins or the Cardinals or something like that. And I thought it would be a lot more teams that were affected. And so far, the NFL has figured this out, much like hockey and basketball, without having a bubble, which is incredible. Now, I should caution everybody. Training camp is sort of, not completely, a bubble in essence, in that a lot of players are staying at hotels, right? And more importantly, a lot of players are at the facility a lot longer than, and they're at the facility shorter this year than they've ever been, but they're busy with football stuff and constant meetings and constant tape reviews, much, much, much busier than the regular season schedule, which is much reduced. Once we go down to 53, which we did yesterday, once we go into a full regular season schedule, there isn't all the nighttime meetings and all that. So I think there's more time for players to get in trouble, to put themselves in bad compromising positions. From a COVID perspective, starting now than there has been over the last, say, month, let's call it. So I really want to see the next month before I fully believe. But I would say it's a lot better, and I'm a lot more hopeful today than I was a month ago. There is no doubt about that.
Now, how about your excitement for this team in particular? Because, if you know, it's almost fallen by the wayside in some respects because of, you know, so much going on, you know, off the field. But, you know, we've actually made some headlines lately with the departure of Adrian Peterson and the entrance of Alex Smith. And so, you know, there's some things happening.
I would say I'm not excited, but I'm certainly intrigued, if that makes sense, right? I mean, there's so many different intriguing storylines for a 3-13 team, which goes back to your original point, that it's almost in some way therapy or cathartic after everything that we've gone through and still are going through. And by the way, that, you know, the whole crisis is never ending. I mean, it's not going to end until Dan is no longer the owner. And whether we'll get to that, I don't know, but there are a lot of people that believe we will get to that. But that being said, I'm very intrigued by a lot of things. You mentioned Adrian Peterson, so that means obviously Antonio Gibson's elevated role. Not only Antonio Gibson, but what do they have in Bryce Love? I know what they have in J.D. McKissic. I pretty much know what they have in Peyton Barber, but what do they have in, again, not only Antonio Gibson, but also Bryce Love? I'm intrigued by how good this defense can possibly be with a very good defensive line, a better than I thought linebacker and defensive back group, but still clearly not the strength of the defense, but better than I thought it would be, at least based on what I've seen and what I can glean. So I'm intrigued in that regard. Can this defense help this team to, you know, maybe 7 wins or 8 wins based on the offense on paper and in my eyes, probably having, you know, maybe 5 or 6 win potential, if that makes sense. So I'm intrigued by, you know, here's another thing that we never talk about, right? Special teams. You know, for a bad football team, this team's got one hell of a special teams unit in almost every way. And people might scoff at that. But you shouldn't, because they can win games by their special teams or not lose games that other bad teams lose, Reese. So that's important. I'm really intrigued to see how this coaching staff changes and adjusts and grows and learns and kind of molds specifically the offense, but I guess in other ways the defense as well, in terms of how they kind of operate in certain game situations and how they attack certain opponents. Like, I think it'll be, and I know there's a long answer, I think it'll be a short, crisp passing offense for a lot of the time, a lot of natural running back screens by designs, get the ball out of Dwayne's hands. But I think next Sunday you could see against a Philadelphia secondary that's not very good and just cut half of their guys, I think you could see some deep 5 and 7 step drops and some Terry McLaurin deep posts and some deep 9 routes and that type of stuff. I'm interested to see how they go game plan to game plan and adjust their philosophy and mentality specifically on offense.
You know, the offense really gives me a lot of the concern that I had, and I hate bringing this name up, I apologize, but, you know, one of my concerns with RG3, right, was that with a young quarterback, you kind of want to have a star at the skill position players, at the skill positions, that can be his safety blanket, right? You want a guy that he feels like will be open most of the time, that he can throw it up to get him feeling comfortable so he can start to explore other aspects of the offense. And, you know, Terry McLaurin is probably the closest that we have to that guy, but you have to remember he's also still in his second year.
That's
a ton of responsibility to thrust on his shoulders. So hopefully he is that guy and he grows into that guy. But I'm looking at Dwayne Haskins, I'm like, man, you're looking at a pretty rough skill position groups for a quarterback so young.
It is, there's no doubt, but I do feel pretty confident that somebody is going to emerge as that, maybe not true 1A, but clearly a number 2 option. And here's the problem. I just don't know if it's going to be Steven Sims, if it's going to be Logan Thomas, much better than what his career has been so far, even though he just became a tight end a couple of years ago and he's really still learning the position. I don't know if it's going to be, again, Antonio Gibson. My sense is it's going to be J.D. McKissic is going to be like the old reliable, the guy that catches, I don't know, 75 passes and is just there when you absolutely need him, even if it's not by design type of thing. That's the kind of offense that I envision here. I could be wrong on that. The question again, though, is will they have a 1A? I think they'll have a 2. I think they'll have better depth than most fans and maybe even media think. But what I don't know is if they'll have a 1A to McLaurin. And if something happens to McLaurin, how pedestrian does this offense become? Because, you know, now everybody knows about him, Reese, and now everyone, partially because of what you just said, and you're not wrong, you know, they're going to lock in on him. They're going to bracket him. They're going to try and take him. That's the dude you game plan against. The question then becomes is if you over game plan against Terry McLaurin, does that open things up again for Gibson? Does that open things up for McKissic? Does Steven Sims working more outside this year and using his vertical speed now that he's more comfortable as an NFL receiver than he was last year? Does that open up other things for this offense? And if they can hit with a guy like Sims, that's going to make things much, much easier for your Logan Thomases, your Marcus Balls, your Antonio Gibsons, your J.D. McKissics underneath, and as well for McLaurin as well.
Now, you said something that got my ears perked up when you were talking about the ownership, and you were saying that there are people that you hear that think it may get to that point. I have always resigned myself to, and maybe this is me being pessimistic, I just said, you know, the standard of behavior that has to be exhibited for you to be removed as a professional team owner is set at Donald Sterling. Okay, and this is a man who survived discrimination lawsuits. Okay, in his city, we're not at that point. And obviously, this is a man who obviously was caught on tape, and you know we know all the stuff where he was removed. But the things that have happened where folks haven't been removed, talking about the Jimmy Haslams and the Robert Krafts. And it also requires the other 31 owners to also feel like their sides of the streets are clean enough for them to want to set that precedent. So I've always been pessimistic about that. But it sounds like you actually think there may be some smoke in this fire.
Well, so I'm with you on the pessimism about other owners wanting to open up the full can of worms and all that stuff. And I'd be lying to you if I truly in my heart told you 100% I believe Dan is going to be removed by hook or by crook, by the NFL. You know, I think there's a chance, and I think there's a much greater chance than probably we believed 2 months ago or 3 months ago or whatever. I think there's certainly a chance. How great of a chance it is, I don't know. I still lean, Reese, more towards a lengthy suspension, 6 months, a year, a $5 million fine. That's where I still lean. But I do talk to people around that are involved in this case, okay, that are pushing buttons to the NFL, that are league personnel people, that are league executive type people, that are former employees of the Washington football team of Dan Snyder. And by and large, more than one feel that he is going down, and he is going down hard. When? We don't know exactly. How? We don't know exactly, but I've been told not to rule it out. And several people believe this is finally going to happen because we know this. The league has been pissed off at Dan Snyder for a long, long time. Like, people think this just started 3 months ago. That's incorrect. They have been upset, so upset at the rotting apple, if you will, the decay of this franchise and how important this franchise is to this city and how important this city and this franchise is to the NFL brand and shield in terms of politics, in terms of money, in terms of operations. I'm telling you, Reese, they've been fuming for years. They sent Brian LaFemina here to fix it. Dan fired him in 8 months. How do you think that sat with Roger Goodell and the other owners? How do you think it sits now with all these Washington Post reports and all these women coming forward. And later on today, ESPN with an hour-long special on how horrible this franchise has been. And no matter what Ron Rivera says about looking forward, they are very upset, and it's not just Roger Goodell. It's not just one person. It's a lot of the owners. It's his co-owners. That's a problem, too. And the question for me now is, where is Jerry Jones on this? Because Dan and Jerry have been really close for a long time. If Jerry has turned his back on Dan, Dan is in big-time trouble. Big-time trouble.
You know, where is Jerry Jones is a question I've asked a couple times this offseason.
Yeah.
But
I hear you on that.
It remains to be seen. My friend, thank you so much for joining me. When are you on next?
Actually tomorrow morning. So if you want to come and hang, are you working tomorrow morning on TV?
Yeah, I'm in for Granddaddy.
You're working after me. Well, so then I'm working for the Junkie. So maybe we can do a little crosstalk in the 9 o'clock hour. How about that? Like bridge into your show if you want to.
Cool. I'm with it,
we
man.
Can do that. All right. That works. That works for me. I look forward to it.
All right, that is Chris Russell.
We've got a breakfast date at 9:30 morning on Labor Day.
That's tomorrow at 6 a.m.
Tomorrow at 6 a.m. for me. You can wait until 9:30 or so.
Believe me. Nap time.
We're all laboring. I'm trying to get EB. Actually, the boss is trying to get EB to open up his jacuzzi and let us do the show from his backyard and get him to work on Labor Day. I don't know if that's going to happen in time, but we'll figure it all out at 6 a.m. tomorrow.
You know, if only my alley were quieter. I have thought about going back out there and having a cigar, but you know what? They don't need to know.
Yeah, I thought my house was quiet, but my dog has made sure that that is not the case.
Well, you know what? Things haven't been quiet for a long time around.
Exactly,
these parts, my friend.
I agree. Why start now?
That is Chris Russell. Thank you,
my friend. Thanks, pal. Appreciate you.
All right, you can catch him tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. sitting in for the Junkies, and you can catch me immediately afterwards at 10 a.m. sitting in for Grant and Danny. But I'm coming right back, and you can get at me. 800-636-1067, Reese Waters, 106.7 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.